into two parts of our Bible in the Old Testament, New Testament. I'm starting a brand new series today I'm excited about. And so if you would find 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, leave your place there, and then we'll turn back and start out with Jeremiah chapter 15. So when you find 2 Corinthians 10, hold your place there, and then turn to Jeremiah chapter 15. It was also one of those good times here in prayer with all our prayer warriors as well. This morning, I was just so blessed to be able to get the confirmation about this brand new series here that's called The Agents of Change. Because I know when Shannon was praying this morning here, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just told her to start praying. She said, God, I hear the words change agents, that God's making us change agents. And that's exactly the name of this series here is Agents of Change. And what is this all going to be about now leading up to Easter? Easter happens in 1 month. We're having that production, having a time together here. Believe God for harvest, not just here, but also across the entire nation. What the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart is this is a time right now for harvest for this church, for churches right across this entire nation, I believe, and also across this city. And the exciting thing is, anytime that God releases something like this, gives a prophetic word, gives confirmation for that, it means God's going to create opportunities to actually manifest the word he speaks. God never speaks something without also giving opportunities for that thing to happen and take place and manifest on the face of the earth. So the good news is, God's going to start giving us more and more opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share our testimonies, and to see people, I believe, come to Jesus for the first time in their lives. This first message this morning is called Called to Influence. God has called us to be influencers for the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. It matters not if you're an introvert or an extrovert, if you're a shy person or an outgoing person, the same Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us. Amen? All of us have got gifts and callings placed in us by God, and those gifts are primarily there to see people drawn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had a story I wanted to give you guys, first of all, this morning, but I just felt the Holy Spirit caused me to shift that story to a different story. And so those are both true stories. If I get time today, I'm going to share this prayer story also about influence. But Cheryl will share with me this morning here about the way that Danielle Redmond, who's again right now with her son who's having this concussion problem here, came to Christ only a short time ago, about a year or a half ago or so. And what happened here is we have a precious lady in our church here whose name is Charity New on the front row. And she lives in a place where a church had an outreach with hot dogs and some kind of a special day there, I think on a Saturday or something. And they invited all these people here in this park, this residential area, to come together and have hot dogs, refreshments, and fun time together. And Danielle Redmond came to that as an unsaved person. And Charity New was also in the same venue that same time with her. Met her, began talking to her, and began talking to her about coming to my church. I need to come to my church, so I understand. And so if I get this wrong, you can get the translation right to my wife later on. We'll get it right next week. But I'm getting the best I can get this as a third party here. But my understanding was, Danielle Redmond said, I don't want to go to some dead church. I want to go to a church where there's actually lively music and drums being played and so forth and so on. And Charity New said, well, that's my church. That's the kind of church I go to. And so she still didn't kind of balked, I guess, wouldn't come there. But I guess what happened as time went by, Charity New got aggressive and actually went right up to her door or something and said, you need to come with me to church today. And brought her to church, and Daniel Redmond received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in that service here at Tree of Life Church. She's now serving God, bearing fruit, doing outreach, manning our information booth back here as well. And really kind of sense even this morning that that's an attack of the enemy himself coming against her with her own son getting injured like this last night. And so what I'm trying to say to you guys is we are agents of change. We are called to influence people for the cause of the kingdom of God. And the biggest miracle that still takes place on the face of the earth is when someone bows their knee and speaks out with their mouth there, they want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their lives. And they go from a dead spirit to an alive spirit. They are now what's called born again by the power of Almighty God. Amen. That is the biggest miracle of all creation and all of the earth, even to this day. Why is that? Because we are eternal beings that will live forever for billions of years someplace. And God says, I want it to be heaven and not hell. Amen? Praise God for blind eyes opening. Praise God for kidneys being transformed. Praise God for lives being saved. But praise God for dead spirits coming alive who'd otherwise be eternally away from Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. May that not be so. So I'm saying all that to say, God is setting you up to be a change agent, an agent for change, and realize and come alive and your eyes open up to realize I am actually going to places to influence people for the kingdom of God. And may that increase in your life, whether you're 5 years old today or 95 years old, you are an agent of change as long as you're alive on this earth. Amen? So Jeremiah chapter 15, I'm going to read that in a moment here. We're going to discuss also in this series how we develop the strength and character to live in the midst of a shifting culture. Unless you're totally blind, you realize that evil is increasing around this nation and around the world more and more every month. We're having a total onslaught of the devil from every kind of way and avenue that it can take place here. Even many churches and believers are wavering in their faith. Many denominations are going backwards in attendance. Many churches are losing young people by the thousands in their congregations here. We are in full-blown onslaught war against the powers of darkness in these last days. Understand that. Amen? It's not time for the church to take and give up and say, Satan's winning. God is always going to win the battle upon the face of the earth. He has the last say, the final say. And the fact is, there's still millions coming to Christ every day on the face of the earth, someplace, somewhere. My prayer is America comes into a great awakening and begins to realize we are a sleeping giant that God wants to wake up for the cause of his kingdom in these last days. Amen? So Jeremiah 15, verse 19 says this, Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. This is God speaking to Jeremiah the prophet about reaching backslidden Israel. And he says, You shall stand before me, the Lord God, if you take out the precious from the vial. That's the whole message there in itself. God says, if you take out the precious from the vial. God wants the precious in your life, in your ear gates, your eye gates, your thoughts, your speech. God wants the precious taken out of the vial. I mean, folks, there's a whole lot of vile things around us in this nation, in the nations today. And God wants the precious taken out of the vial. You shall be as my mouth. Then notice what it says here last of all. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Now, a better translation for that is found in the Taylor translation where it says, You are to influence them and let them not influence you. God is saying you are to influence America and the unbelievers here, let them not influence you. And I don't care how lukewarm or carnal even Christians may become in these last days, you are to influence them. They are not to influence you. Amen? Because God, like Cheryl said this morning, like the Bible says, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Methods may change, dress may change, lights may change, and screens may change, even songs may change, but God remains the same, and his values and truths are the same forever upon the face of this earth. Okay? Let's go now to New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13 through 16. Paul the Apostle talks by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, like in all of his words in the Bible. And it says, We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere. The word sphere there means area of influence. We will not boast outside of our areas of influence, which God appointed to us. An area of influence, a sphere, which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other man's labors, but having hope, that is, your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our area of influence, our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere, area of influence, of accomplishments. So God is saying here about three different times here, we have got a sphere, an area of influence that God has placed us in by divine connection, by divine appointment, as far as God's word is concerned. What it's saying here is you were born and living in Taylor, Texas, in Dripping Springs, in Austin, Pflugerville, Round Rock, Maynard, Taylor, Hutto, whatever. You are here for such a time as this. You're not here by accident. You are here on purpose by God. And God says you're in a sphere that I give you favor for, I give you wisdom for, I give you revelation for, and I give you influence for by my power and by my spirit, says the Lord. I've even found in missions work, there's some nations that I'm not very effective in. I don't have any kind of an influence. I don't have the anointing or favor for those regions or those nations. Other places I go to, it seems like doors just open up. The favor of God comes on me, folks accept and receive the message very readily there because God has given me that sphere of influence to have for such a time as this. That's even why we're here right now, I believe, pastoring a church in Pflugerville, Texas. I didn't open these doors up for myself, nor did Cheryl do it as well. The doors opened up for us. We just simply walked through them. Amen? And so that's how God works also in your life. You're at the workplace you're at by divine design. You're in your own neighborhood by divine design. You have your own relatives by divine design. You have your own in-laws by divine design. And they're going to be a blessing as their hearts turn to Jesus. Amen? And come to Christ. So, moving on here. To personalize this thing about the sphere of influence here, we got to understand that Uncle Jerry, who again is on with the Lord today, he had great influence on many people in this congregation. This man influenced people for the better by his laughter, by his diligence, by his prayer life, by his counsel, by his smiling, joyful face. We never saw Uncle Jerry come in here depressed, never saw him baptized in prune juice or pickle juice. We never saw him griping, complaining. We never saw him causing divisions or schisms or problems. We only saw him trying to find someone to get with and bless and pour into until it seems like the very day he died, as Uncle Jerry was doing, influencing people for God's kingdom by the giftings and anointing inside of his own life. We see James Kreitz on the platform as well. He's influencing us for the better, amen, in praise and in worship, as is all of our singers, all of our musicians here. They are influencing us how to praise and worship God in spirit and in truth. They were influenced, I'm sure, themselves by folks like Hillsong, Jesus Culture, even Dallas Home and Praise. Okay, I'm going to get an old guy out there. These guys were influenced by somebody, somewhere, somehow, as time goes by. Hopefully not Kiss, Led Zeppelin, or Black Sabbath. Amen. I couldn't resist pulling out some old junk. We have Kristen upstairs there. Kristen's influencing our children, I believe, for the better. And the workers with her as well. They're pouring into them Bible stories, Bible truths, Bible love. The character of Jesus Christ, I know, shines through them. And we're seeing our children being molded and shaped into God's image more so, I believe, and bettered and also helped out and benefited by what God's placed in them and in her life also, in Jesus' name. Even hopefully Cheryl and I ourselves, being here 11 years now, we had our 11th anniversary here last week in this church. We hopefully have influenced you guys for the better in the time we've been here. The word we speak, the teachings we give forth here, hopefully our lifestyle, our family, and so forth, somehow influences you guys for the better, and may that just increase more and more and not diminish. Amen? God has called us to be influencers of people upon the earth. Notice it also says here in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, but having hope that as your faith increases, also then your influence will increase. Isn't that interesting? Is there a connection there? As your faith increases, your influence increases. Now, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So that's why I'm praying for you guys and myself all the time. God, help us hear your voice even better. Because many folks are not actually seeing divine opportunities around them because they're not hearing God's voice, how God's opening doors to them that they're not walking through and using their mouth to be a blessing to folks around them who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As your faith increases, also your influence will increase at the same time. It also goes on and says, and as that grows, you'll begin to preach the gospel in areas beyond you. That's why it's totally scriptural there that our churches would take an influence, not just Pflugerville and Austin, but even influence Asia, Africa, Mexico, Latin American nations, and so forth around the face of the earth, because God wants influence beyond the walls of this local church. Amen? And he says, may it grow and may it increase more and more upon the earth. This is God's dream and God's hope. This is the reason we exist as a church, is that people may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, become discipled, and then bear fruit after their own kind on the face of the earth. We're all growing and getting better, but it's for a so that. It's so that people may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God makes people like Charity New become better, stronger, and full of faith so that she can reach Daniel Redmond for Jesus Christ and have a boldness and a love to bring her to a place like this where God can work in her heart and life to come to Christ. There's always a so that. We sing, we praise, we usher, we do greeting, we do all these things so that people may know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? I appreciate it so much. Even last week we had Christopher Sanchez here with us again from Iowa. He appreciates you guys being generous to him also. The offering was like $1,100. It went to him. He says, thank you so much for that. But he also had a great word there that was very, very evangelistic about how God says it's time to get out of the boat and take hold of Jesus' hand and do what Jesus does. The main thing about that message there is find out what Jesus is doing and do the same thing. If that means walking on water, walking on fire, going into fiery furnaces or lions' dens, find out what Jesus is doing, take his hand and do the same thing. Amen? Because what Jesus Christ is doing is leading people to salvation on the face of the earth. Amen? And I want to see it happening more and more in our lives. We're all growing, we're all getting better, but it's for the soul that we need to understand that God never gives us influence for our own benefit. God never blesses us for our own benefit. It is for the benefit and the help of others around us that God wants to touch. Now, when God blesses you, when God increases you, you will be blessed yourself. You can't take and get in the gravy and not get some gravy in your own mouth and enjoy the gravy yourself. Amen? But also, the gravy is there not to drown in the gravy. Again, like I've said time and again, it's to pass the gravy around to others that they might partake of what you've been receiving yourself in your life with the grace and help of Almighty God. So when God increases our influence and God increases us in any way at all, it's not just for your benefit, it's for folks around you that you touch and influence for Christ to bring a blessing in their lives. We are simply a channel and a hose that God wants to flow through on the face of the earth. I want to pray even now. I say, Father God, help us, God, discern what you place in us. We might have a great baking gift, a great counseling gift, a great mercy gift, a great computer gift. Whatever the gift, oh God, you place in us is, help us, God, to tap into that gift and realize it's not just for us and our family. It is for the kingdom of God and folks around us who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Do you receive that? Let it come and be a part of our being that we're not just gifted to give us a retirement plan only and to get a paycheck. It's to actually help people who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The question we should ask God every day is, Lord, how do I use my influence that you've given me in a wise and effective way this day? When you get up in the morning and say, Father God, how do I use my influence, my giftings, my callings in an effective way this day? Reveal that, oh God, to me, I pray, and by your grace and help, I want to see that. I'm going to tell you about a story. In 1975, there were two great generals in our nation. And one lady in our congregation that's here today from Haiti, named Kendra, is actually a beneficiary of the guy whose name is Bill Bright, and the guy's name was Lauren Cunningham. Lauren Cunningham actually founded Youth with a Mission, which is what Kendra belongs to, going to Haiti. And also Lauren Cunningham founded what's called Campus Crusade for Christ way back in the 70s. These two men actually met in a large city. I think it might have been Atlanta, Georgia, back in 1975. They were in the same town, same city, same place, same time. So they called each other on the telephone and said, let's get together for lunch tomorrow. Let's have lunch together. They both agreed to do that. That night, they both fell asleep, of course, and had a dream. They both had a vision, had a dream at night. They came together, and first of all, Lauren Cunningham tells Bill Bright, I had a dream last night. I want to share that with you. I know God gave that dream to me. And then Lauren Cunningham announced back to him, or Bill Bright did, and said, I also had a dream last night. What was your dream? And as he shared the dream Lauren did to Bill Bright, Bill Bright said, I had the exact same dream myself that you had from God last night. So God confirmed that dream by two generals at the same time. This is a word for America and for our nation back in 1975 that is still true to this day. The dream was this. There are seven principalities and seven what they call these things mind molders that are in our nation today that are not totally under the control of God's Spirit in our land. Now, six of these are right now under the powers of darkness for the most part. One of them is being influenced in some ways by the powers of darkness, but for the most part is still in God's hand, and God's having his way there. So we're going to, on the screen here, flash seven streams of influence shown to Bill Bright and shown to Lauren Cunningham back in 1975 that are called mind molders in our nation today. The first one's called the church. It's also called the religious community. How many folks know that religion killed Jesus, but the church was birthed by Jesus? Religion and the church are not always the same thing. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, teachers of the law there, they were folks who were actually controlled by their own soul, their own minds, and by deceiving spirits. Jesus Christ spent a whole lot of time rebuking them, getting mad at them, and correcting their false doctrines every place he met them in his 3.5 years of ministry. And today in the church also, we're getting religious things taking place, and we're getting more and more fleshly things taking place in the churches. Now, praise God, for the most part, the church is still following and believing the Word of God. The Bible is the inerrant truth, God-breathed, inspired by the Lord, and every verse there is from the power inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even to this day. Amen. Unfortunately, there's some whole denominations right now saying certain verses aren't for today. They throw them clear out, throw them in the trash, and say they don't even exist and shouldn't be there for us today. There's a big battle going on among many social issues in our country. They say, God did not really say that. Well, what did God say then? It's in black and white, Hebrew, Greek, whatever version you get there. It's what the Bible says. But they're saying God didn't really say that. So the church is going through a battle right now in these streams of influence. Number two is government. All of us realize again today, when the elections take place in our nation, God is not the main criteria for who we elect for our president anymore in our country. The main criteria is what? The spirit of mammon. What can you do for my pocketbook? How do you help my retirement plan? How do you guard my Social Security? All that matters mainly is how do you take care of me and my flesh, my body, on the face of the earth? We don't realize the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach for any people. Amen? And so we might have money for a season, but we also have a $17 trillion debt because payday will come to pass. Amen? And so our government needs prayer. Our government leaders need prayer and need more influence for God's kingdom. The next one there is called arts and entertainment. All of us realize that our movies and our TV shows and our entertainment, even on sports, are getting more and more influenced by darkness and not by God in Christianity. The next one there is called education. Education is something that shapes the minds of young people. 100 years ago, places like Harvard and Yale and Princeton were godly universities proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and had God for their very foundations for their very existence on the face of the earth. They're now total bastions for liberality and false teachings and flesh and carnality and things that are anti-God, anti-church, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. That's not what God intends for education for our nation. And I tell you guys again, when you send your young people off, your grandkids off to universities in America, they're going to be facing a whole lot of humanistic doctrine that's going to hit them right in between the eyes. And we're even seeing folks in our own congregation being challenged today that are in secular universities here about their beliefs, their foundation. That's why we're doing the best we can at Tree of Life Church to give our children a good foundation of what God's Word stands for and says, and knowing God also in relationship. So when they face these big-worded professors in secular universities here, they aren't molded and bended and brainwashed in ways that are demonic and ways that are fleshy and ways that are false in their lives. Amen? The next one there is called business. Business also is being influenced, for the most part, in realms of dog-eat-dog, every man for himself, and also agendas of hell, agendas of false doctrines are being pushed by our business community. In the media, we have television, magazines, and radio. We all know those things are also being pushing things in a very big way, more so all the time in darkness. The last one there is called the family. We've actually reached a threshold in America a few years ago where now there are more folks today in America that are living together out of wedlock than are actually married in holy matrimony. We're also facing, of course, the attack against our families from the entire gay agenda upon the face of our nation and the states even to this day. They found that anytime the family is strong, this society flourishes throughout history. When families are strong, serving God and together, nations flourish. When the families get torn apart, when the foundations are being ripped to pieces, nations start floundering and bad things start happening in those countries every single time. So, if these are important mountains in our culture, they need to be influenced by the kingdom of God more than the kingdoms of darkness. Amen? Do you believe that? Three amens. Amen. Or should Satan have them? You want to have Satan have them? You want to say amen to that? No? Let's let God have these seven mountains and control those things. How do we do that? Well, the Bible says not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We've got to realize again that prayer is a place we must always start to see influence come to these mountains in our nation to this day. Amen? We got to give a story now that I heard from a pastor. Just on Thursday afternoon, we had a pastor's meeting called a PIC, Pastors in Covenant Group. I go there once a month with Glenn Hubbard and a few pastors from the Lake Shore area. Like it's called Lake Shore. Lakeway area. And one pastor's name is Ken Edwards, precious man of God in his 60s, got a Southern Baptist background. This guy said that he's a prayer warrior himself. He goes to nations and ministers in foreign countries quite a bit, especially Latin American countries, and also pastors a smaller church out there. But he said, I heard a story, there was a true story from a person I know a few weeks ago. This man was approached by a rich businessman that he knows, they're both in business, and the rich businessman knew he was a Christian and said, do you really believe the Bible's true when it says, speak to the mountain and the mountain shall be removed? Do you believe that? Well, the businessman, as a Christian, was very wise. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, to answer back to him, yes, I believe that. He said, and to prove I believe that, I want you to pray for Africa for 45 days. I want you to put on the mirror of your bathroom lavatory, pray for Africa, and pray for Africa 45 days. If you don't see a mountain removed in 45 days, I will give you $500. But if you do see a mountain removed, you owe me $500. The businessman said, thought about it and said, no, that's a no-brainer. Okay, I'll do that. He had no faith that God would do anything in 45 days. He starts praying every day. Father God, I pray right now for Africa. Bless Africa in Jesus' name. 3 days goes by. His phone rings. A lady from Africa calls and says, we have got an orphanage out there in Uganda that needs some toys and blankets and some gifts. We're going to send a team there in a while to bring things to them. Could your business contribute some things for the orphans in Uganda? He said, okay, we can do that. So they gather together some toys and blankets and whatever there, give it to the lady. It goes over there to Uganda. And then about another week goes by or so. He's praying every day. He prays for Africa every day. So I pray for Africa. I bless Africa in Jesus' name. Another week or so goes by, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and they said, your gift was such a blessing to that orphanage that they want you to come there in person and give the gifts out yourself for more gifts to the folks in Uganda. Would you do that? He goes, he thinks about it for a while. He says, okay, I'll fly there. I'll go there, and I'll give some more gifts to those guys, and I'll let them say thanks to me. So he goes there to Uganda, flies into Kampala, and he gets off the airplane, and he's there for about a day, and the president of the country meets him and says, I want to say thank you so much. You have blessed our orphanage so much. You've helped them out so much. I want to say thank you in person to you. The president of Uganda hears about it. The influence is there by God's grace. The president hears about it and shakes his hand. He goes where the president's palace is at for a lunch or a luncheon that day, and he sees behind the palace cattle pens full of hundreds of prisoners and people. And he says, well, what is this? These are my enemies we have captured and imprisoned so they can't bother me anymore. He says, well, you can't treat people like cattle, put them in cattle pens. That's not right. He goes, well, they're my enemies. I got nothing else to do. What do I do? That's what I must do to these guys. And so he says, okay. And he leaves the place, goes back to America. And about a few more days goes by, and he's praying every day, Father God, I pray for Africa. I bless them in Jesus' name. The ambassador to Uganda in Washington, D.C. calls him on the telephone in about 2 or 3 days when he gets home. I want to say thank you. What you did was a miracle in Uganda. He goes, well, what did I do? He goes, you told the president of Uganda, let those people go, and he did it. Those folks have all been released now out of prison and are now back in their homes with their families once again. We want to say thank you. We've tried for years now to get a breakthrough in that area. You did that in one day. Thank you. This guy was blown away. This guy takes and calls up his friend and says, come to my house. Here's my $500. Amen? And the good news is God never stops with what's enough. He does more than we ask or think or imagine. 13 of his businessmen friends hear the story, come to him, and he says to them, I'll make the same wager with you that was made to me. I'll pay you guys $500 apiece. If you'll pray for 45 days for a mountain and see nothing happen, I'll give you $500. Otherwise, give me $500. All 13 of those guys came back to him. 12 of them paid him $500. Then 45 days, they saw mountains removed by things they prayed for. And the 13th man, like the story was there, is that he actually developed a prayer life for the first time in his life. His mountain was, he didn't pray for anything. He now began to pray on a consistent basis from that day forward. So even he had a breakthrough as far as prayer was concerned. I say all that to say, God wants you to influence people and begin with prayer and see what God can do to influence these seven mountains for the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen? Let's move on here. The local church is not the hope of the world. I want to say it again. The local church is not the hope of the world. The local church mobilized is the hope of the world. Us sitting here doing nothing for God's kingdom out there is not the hope of the world. Us receiving things from God in here, going then out there, being mobilized by God, is the hope of the world. Amen? We are salt and we are light. And God calls us that also in the Bible. Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. We should not go out and condemn the world. We should go out there and do what we can to save the world. We're not called by God to carry placards saying, I hate this and I hate that and you're going to hell. Amen? Salt preserves life. Jesus Christ said, I did not come to condemn the world. I came to seek and save that which is lost. You'll never see us at Tree of Life Church putting out signs out front that says, turn or burn, you're going to hell. God hates you, we hate you too. You're not going to see us have signs like that in front of our church. Amen? You deserve hell. No, we are those who are like Jesus Christ ambassadors. We are to take and not condemn the world. We are to see the world sought after and saved and come to Christ as Lord and Savior. And some Christians need to get that in their brain. We're not called to condemn people. We're called to see folks get saved and receive Christ. Sinners do what sinners do best. They sin. We need to quit trying to get sinners cleaned up first, then receive Christ. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am, I come to thee, O God, I come. That's what God wants, amen? Just as you are, come like that. God sees you, God doesn't condemn you, God loves you, God forgives you, and God is your God from that day on. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is what Cheryl also quoted this morning. Let your light so shine. That's very important to see that. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whenever you take and leave a waitress a 25-cent tip, your light is not so shining before men. They're going to see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? When you chew out the flight attendants on airlines, you're not letting your light so shine before men. They're going to see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Amen? They're going to curse your God. Amen? God is saying, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and then one day hopefully glorify your Father in heaven as you do yourself in your life. I told the story of the congregation, I'm sure a couple of years back, in my church I was raised at in Kansas called Faith Chapel. We had a man there who was an insurance agent, very successful, making a whole lot of money, very busy. This guy was missing more and more church services. His heart started getting cold towards God. He quit coming to church altogether because he quit coming to church. His wife quit coming to church. His kids quit coming to church. His teenage kids dropped out of church. Wife out of church. He's out of church. And all of a sudden, his house catches on fire by electrical shortage in the attic. Burns the whole house down. Our local news in Wichita, Kansas, came out there and filmed the whole thing. Puts him on the TV. Our church called Faith Chapel mobilized and went to his house and took care of his family in their homes. They fed them, they clothed them, they bedded them down at night, they comforted them, they prayed for them, helped them rebuild their house again. And all these things touched his heart so much, he gave his life back to Christ again, or back to God again, rededication, and found himself back in church again, back on fire for God again, glorifying God. He saw people's good works and glorified God in heaven in Jesus' name. I want to say one thing right here again. My professors and teachers at CF&I primarily, they share with us that you might be what's called a once saved, always saved Christian. That may be true. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But to me again, the Bible points out that it's very, very also very possible we are actually being saved. The word salvation, saved, is an ongoing verb that means you're being saved. That means Mary Lou Menchaca is being saved. What that means is, don't think you can take and talk to Mary Lou any way you want to, because now she's saved. I can be rude to her. I can cut her off in traffic. I can slide her, gossip, talk behind her back, because she's saved. She's going to heaven. It's no big deal. Amen? No, she is being saved. Anybody here can get offended, bitter, embittered, poisoned, and full of unforgiveness, and drop clear out of the church and God's work and reading the Bible and praising God. Amen? We are being saved. So I'm saying, let us do good even to the household of faith, not just unbelievers in the world. Amen? They all need your love. Amen? Praise God. So this series is about us affecting change upon the world around us. Let's try to answer three questions in closing this morning about changing our world. Number one, the first question is, why? Why should I want to change my world? Well, the main answer is because God really likes this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the world. God would leave, the Bible says, God would leave 99 healthy sheep behind to find one unhealthy sheep who's lost. Amen? That's how much God loves the world. So why should I want to change the world? Because God loves the world, and God gave his Son for the world, and God wants the world saved and come to Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says, "Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." We want to please God, amen? God's plan is that in order to help others, he does not do it himself. He uses you and me to help others around us. Mother Teresa, she said, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And that is true, amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, or chapter 2, verse 10, talks about our destiny. And it says we're on the planet here because God's not finished with us. The only reason you're here right now on earth is because God's not finished with you yet. Amen? Otherwise, let's get them saved and kill them. They'll go to heaven. Amen? We don't do that. Why? Because to live is Christ. Amen? To die may be much better, but not today. Amen? We are here to be Jesus Christ's hands and feet and heart and mouth until he comes back in rapture or for the second coming, or we die upon the earth like Uncle Jerry. But we are here to occupy until he comes. Amen? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're going through life in America so fast, we don't realize the divine appointments God puts before us every day. All we can think about sometimes is, I'm owed a refund by State Farm Insurance. I'm going to go in that place and get in their face until I get my $55 back. You don't realize that God made the whole thing happen to put you in that office to tell that young girl about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? You got to do what Robert Morris of Gateway Church in Dallas says. Realize all the places you go to are by divine appointment. You're in front of that person's face not to get your money back, not to fight for your refund. You're there because God orchestrates things for folks to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your waitresses, your waiters, your checkout clerks, folks around you in parking lots, they're there by divine appointment. And God says, slow down, calm down, and take the time to open your mouth up sometimes and bless others around you, because they're there because God put them there to receive Christ as Savior. I'm seeing folks around me more and more all the time asking waitresses, do you want prayer for anything? Time and time again, tears come out of their eyes. And they say things like, you would not believe what I'm going through. I'm a single mother. I can't pay the bills. My boyfriend cheated on me and left me, so forth, so on. I do need prayer. And there's folks out there right now that may look, they're smiling, they look bright, they got good makeup on, they look real clean. But in their hearts and lives, they're going through hell on earth. They need Christians to be Jesus in their place and reach out to them with God's help. Amen? I want to say become others-focused and become missional in your living more so, and quit being so busy in your life. Number two, where? Where do we change the world? We change this world, your world. What that means is, first of all, if you change your world, your life, your mind, your heart, you will then be able to change the world. God will always say to you, draw a circle around yourself, get revival in that circle, then revival will spread out to the whole world in due time. Amen? God says, change your world, then you can change the world in Jesus' name. God will never ask you to do something that He won't gift you for and give you passion for. He will always give you passion and giftings for things He puts you in front of to do on the earth. Wherever you are or go, that's where God has sent you to go to and to use you in that capacity. Helen Keller's quotes on the screen here. Helen Keller says this, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. So many folks say, well, the harvest is so big, there's so much sin out there, what can I do to impact folks for God's kingdom? And the fact is, with God working through you, much happens. Little things become much in God's kingdom. I'm going to have James come to the platform. I'm going to get his last point in a moment here as he comes up here and just kind of plays softly. But I want to get his one more story as well about a missionary who went to a Latin American nation, this brand new communist, I think it was actually Colombia. And they were building a little Christian school in a little village. While they were doing that in the short-term missions trip, the communist leaders were in the village next to them building some government buildings or schools themselves at the same time. And this missionary worked for 2 weeks or 10 days, helped to build the school. He's just going back home with the missionaries and leaders on the team, and he says to them, you know, that was okay, that was all right. I enjoyed myself somewhat doing my giftings. I'm a carpenter, I'm a laborer. But I didn't really see any big splash take place for God's kingdom. I just hammered nails and hauled wood and sawed wood and put things together. You know, I didn't really see much. Not really impressed. Well, about a month goes by. Missionary gets a phone call from the village leaders, Christian church in that village. They said that the communist leaders who were building next to you guys came to us when you left and said, what are these guys doing here? Building a Christian school, a school for our people. What they charge you guys? It was all free. Didn't charge anything. These communists were so impressed, they bowed their knee and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the whole village came to Christ. That carpenter couldn't see things right there that he wanted. He had big dreams of miracles, demons cast out, blind eyes opening, mission field. All he saw was hammers, nails, and saws, and sawdust. But through what he did, a whole village comes to Christ, and communist leaders get saved. God takes some breeze on things in obedience we do in ways we can't understand. The last question is today, number three, is how? How do we change the world? And the answer there is simply be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting in your life. The Spirit of God is in you not just for comfort, but also for direction. And He will give you sometimes promptings. I should call that person. I should speak to that person. I should reach out to that person. I should give some money to that person. There's promptings God will give us because He loves people so much. Your prayer every morning should be, your prayer should be, Holy Spirit, here I am. I am available today to do what You want me to do on the earth in Jesus' name. Proverbs 3:27 on the screen here says this, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. To those to whom it is due. That means God's actually storing some things up for good things to happen for them. When it is in the power of your hand to do so. That lady at HEB was delayed because she was due some good things of God's kingdom, and you were there to help her out. Like the Samaritan and the person on the wayside that was injured, bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, the folks that were religious were too busy. They just passed on by. The good Samaritan wrapped him up, took care of their wounds, put them into an inn or a hotel, paid their bill and paid their food, said, take care of them. And that's what God's saying to you and I. Let's stop being so busy and say, Holy Spirit, if somebody do some good around me and I'm in their path on purpose. Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now. We're going to pray for a moment. What God is saying to us in closing is find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. I'm going to read this verse while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed from Isaiah. I believe all the folks in this room today would agree and say, I want God's refreshing. I want to be more light for God. I want God's light to shine on me. I want to receive revival in my heart. I want to see dryness broken off my life. I want this drought broken off my spirit, off my soul. How do I do it, God? The answer is found in Isaiah 58, verse 10 and 11. And it says this, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. Your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in drought, and He'll strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. These are all symbols and signs of revival. Drought broken, waters coming forth, light shining out. Guidance by the Holy Spirit. It comes by helping the afflicted, helping the hungry, blessing others in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask for two groups of people today to be prayed for. And the first group is believers who may be here today. And perhaps the Holy Spirit's nudging you right now and saying to you, you can be doing more to advance my kingdom. And you're saying today that, Father God, I want to be sensitive even more so to the Holy Spirit's promptings in my life, that I may hear Him say when to speak, who to speak to, where to go. And I might begin discerning divine opportunities that otherwise are passing me by because of my needs and my wants and my schedule and my pressure and my stress in my life. Father God, we just pray for ourselves right now as believers and say, Lord, we are available. Just pray a prayer right now if you mean that. Father God, I am available to go through interruptions, to receive your promptings, to receive even sometimes dreams and visions of people, God, at work, my neighborhood, my loved ones around me, those I will influence or be coming in contact with any day, any given day. I say I am available to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your mouth, and my giftings, my talents, and my abilities are in your hands. I sow them, God, to you for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. The second group this morning I want to talk to is those who may be saying, my heart is not even right with God. I don't sense God's presence or God's spirit in my life, perhaps like it should be. You might be saying this morning, I was at one time on fire for God, hearing God's voice, loving to read the Bible, loving praise and worship, loving coming to church, loving God's people, just loving God's presence. But my heart seems more cold today for whatever reasons. Or you might be saying this morning, I don't even know who Jesus Christ is as Lord and Savior. I know my grandma was saved, perhaps. I know my parents were saved, perhaps. I know the church is good, perhaps. But I don't really even know if I see God face to face if I die today. If He'll say to me, I know you. I knew you. You received me as Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us very plainly that you must be born again, which means you must call upon the name of the Lord for yourself to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't be saved by good works, by church attendance, by giving, by doing and being a good person. You're only saved. You're only in God's kingdom by receiving Jesus Christ in your life, by confessing with your mouth that I can't save myself. I need a Savior. Jerry Wilkinson, who died here a few days ago, went to heaven, the Bible says. And it says in heaven there's a book there called the Book of Life. And it says, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their names are found written in the Book of Life. And those whose names are not found in the Book of Life, the Bible says, were sent into eternal darkness, away from God's presence. I want to make sure today before we leave this place that your name is written in the Book of Life. You want that for yourself as well. If you're like that today and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed for privacy's sake only, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior or come back to God in rededication to Him, would you please be very bold this morning and just raise your hand real high for a moment so I may see the hands? Anybody like that at all today? Anyone like that wants to receive Christ as Savior or come back to Christ? Anybody else? Anyone else? Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand up, please. This one young man here that has raised his hands, I'm going to make sure that the parents, they understand and know what's going on here with him. I'm going to let you guys talk with your son as well. If you want someone in the congregation to talk to him also, we'll do that. about receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. Praise God for our children who have a heart that's sensitive toward the things of God. But that it shows us also today that most of the people who need Christ are not in here, they're out there. Amen? And I can't force those guys out there to be in here on Sunday mornings. You are the church out there. Amen? You need to be preaching your messages out there by your face, by your life, by your giftings, by your obedience. Do what you can do and watch God open doors. I want to say it again. In this morning's prayer time, again with Shannon, she said this word, I hear God saying to us, agents of change. God is creating opportunities this week and this season that's going to blow your mind if you'll walk through those doors. When delays happen this week at State Farm Insurance, at HEB, Penny's, or whatever, it is by divine appointment. It's not to get mad and impatient and start cussing. It is time to say, what can I do now to perhaps share my testimony or share, just say, do you want prayer? And watch what God will do with your obedience. Amen.